All right, let's go ahead and have the students head back to junior church. As they're getting back and settled and ready and going, got a handful of things. If you've got your bulletin, don't hesitate to take that out. Got a handful of things I just would like to draw your attention to. There's a little insert for this morning with a couple of scriptures on it that I'm not going to refer to all of these, but this is kind of more for your reading after worship this morning. So keep that in mind. You've also got, there's a couple of little blanks to fill in. So just keep that at the ready. That would be great. If you haven't already filled out your connection card, there's just a little yellow card in the pew in front of you. That's really helpful for us. Helps us know you're here. Helps us know if there's any prayer requests you've got, so our pastoral team and our ministry leaders can be aware what's going on, how we can be praying, how we can follow up. If you're visiting with us this morning, it lets us know you're here so we can just say, hey, we'd love having you. Please take some time and fill that out. Let us know you're here. That would be fantastic. If you came prepared to give an offering, and it would make you happy to do that, it'd be joyful to you to give to the Lord, please put that in the boxes as well on the communion tables. I think most of us know about this, but we have a website as a church. We've had a website since we reopened about a year ago, and that's a pretty important thing. There's a lot of stuff on there. Our sermons are up there. Our calendar of events are up on there, so if you're curious about what's going on at the church, the buildings being used or whatever, our calendar's up. There's a lot of stuff on there. So if you haven't utilized that or if you want to point somebody to that to kind of listen in, there's an intro video from me just saying, hey, here's who we are and we'd love to have you. So just be mindful of that. After worship today, we're having a ministry planning meeting. So that's going to be right back in the junior church room. It's just an opportunity to say, hey, what's coming on the calendar? If you've got a few things that you're planning and you want to get a feel for what the calendar's looking like, we'd love to have you. That's just going to be down the hall and to the left. That'll be a really important time just to catch up and put some things on the calendar for ministry purposes. We've got a ladies' coffee and fellowship coming up next Saturday. That's just a super chill kind of a time for gals to get together in the fireside room and hang out. Can I say that? Super chill? Can I say that, guys? It's kind of a super chill time. It's a low-key time. It's not this uptight thing. It's just a really low-key time to get together, pray together, be encouraged together, so be mindful of that. We've got a kickoff. I'm going to just have us look ahead a little bit. Coming in early September, it's August. When did that happen? Early September, the Sunday after Labor Day, we're going to have a big kickoff Sunday where we're going to have lunch in the park after church in honor of this football season. We're going to sort of take that captive to the Lord. I'm going to encourage you to wear your favorite football jersey. We're going to try to be Christians together and fight if you're a Ducks fan or you're a Beavers fan or you're a Broncos fan, but we're going to work it out. And the really important thing by that, and I just want to ask you to be praying about that, because that's not a Sunday that's necessarily for us. That's a Sunday to really be praying about inviting somebody, inviting a family member or a friend, and we're going to really just kind of meet them on their turf, right? We're going to wear a fun jersey. We're going to have a fun day. We're going to have a barbecue. So that's a really important day for us to look outside of ourselves and invite somebody to church. So if that's on the 10th, just be mindful of that. We're prepping for that. We're going to send out mailers for that. It's going to be a big day. If you weren't aware, one of our very own, Arnold Haynes, and you probably saw the pictures up there, but Arnold was baptized just last week. So he's kind of a shy guy, so I don't want to draw tons of attention to him, but I'm drawing a lot of attention to him right now because that's the biggest day in his life. And I asked him how old he was before he got baptized, and he said he was 82. And I said, well, that's nice, but you're being reborn at 82. So you're entering into a whole new life. So as he's sneaking out after worship, give him a quick hug and just say, hey, congratulations. That's a wonderful thing. That's the best day in anybody's life. And if you're here and you haven't been immersed, you haven't been dunked, and you have questions about that, or you're curious about it, and you want to ask me or one of our other pastors, don't hesitate to grab us aside and say, hey, you know, I've been dunked or I was sprinkled or I don't know what that, if I meant, knew what I meant. We'd love to talk with you about it. That's a very important part of our walk with the Lord, really entering into His grace, okay? If you've got your Bibles, let's go ahead and get those out and keep that little sermon insert at the ready. If you haven't been with us for the last several weeks, we've been preaching about this thing called the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is just that. It's the result of a person's life that's just actively walking with the Lord. It's when we start walking with God and we start cultivating a rich, a deep attachment to Him, these kinds of fruits come up in our life. And so in Galatians 5:22, Paul lists these fruits, fruits like love and joy, peace and patience and kindness, and just down on through the list. So we've been just marching through these fruits, trying to really look at what the Bible says about them, how it defines what they are, what are some things in our culture that make it particularly difficult for these fruits to really take root in our lives, what are some things we can do to actually cultivate these things. And so I'll be real honest with you, today's a day I'm kind of looking forward to getting through, because if you know where we're at in the list, you know we've gotten through love, you know we've gotten through joy, you know we've gotten through peace, which means we're at patience. And so you probably have a good guess as to why I'm kind of excited to get through this whole patience bit, right? Because patience is one of those things that we go, man, it's good to be patient. But, you know, quite frankly, when I get our prayer request cards in every week, you know the one thing that I never see on any of those cards? I have not yet. And we've only been here a year, but we've been in this for about 12 or 13 years, so we're not quite just wet behind the ears. We've got a little bit of time, a little bit of ministry under our belts, and I have very rarely, maybe once, and I can't even remember that once, so I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I have never seen anybody write on a connection card for the Lord to give them patience. Now, why is that? Because it's a given, and you're right to not pray for that, right? Why? That is a dangerous prayer. I mean, you are just setting yourself up. What I'll just say is praying for patience is maybe a lot like putting yourself in the way of a sermon on patience, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Because you know if you ask for patience, your life's going to come apart, isn't it? Things are just going to just go... Because that's what you're praying for. We'll talk about what patience is, you know, but one of Carrie and I is kind of a family friend. He's kind of a grandpa to our kids back in Boise. He's actually one of our professors, and it's a long story there, but I learned that he went out on a limb, started praying for patience, and I thought, oh, Dale, okay, that's good. And almost immediately after he was done with his prayer, he spilled his hot coffee all over himself. I mean, no joke. He literally was done praying, and he went over to the and he spilled hot coffee all over himself. And he didn't know what was happening. And then a few days later, he sat on his glasses, busted them. And he's like, why is this happening? Well, I can tell you why it's happening, right? I mean, he just walked right in. He just started praying for it, and the Lord's answering. Spills hot coffee himself, sits on his glasses, which is kind of a big deal because he's a professor. He's gearing up to go down to Jamaica, do this eldership training thing for the churches down there, and he can't see because he doesn't have glasses. So he's got to figure out how to get glasses before he gets on a plane and goes down to Jamaica. So he's freaking out, you know. He loses a thumb drive with over 200 hours of teaching notes on it for Bible college, you know, college level teaching stuff. Why is this happening? I'll tell you why it's happening. Because he got this crazy idea to pray for patience, right? Pray for patience. That's a risky thing to do, okay? And yet we know it's a good thing, right? Patience is a good thing. Patience is not a bad thing. It's a fruit of the Spirit. I mean, if it wasn't a good thing, it wouldn't be in there, right? One of the reasons I just kind of allude to the fact that I'm excited to get through this sermon on patience, not like it's not going to be something, you know, that our family and myself are going to keep working on, is it just you just bump into it. I mean, this week, I mean, you kind of name it. Wednesday, and I think maybe just because I'm focusing on it, but I also know that the Lord's using that. Gavin walks up behind me, trips, bashes his face. I've got my phone in my hand. I sort of set it down on the counter. It breaks. And I'm going, oh man, patience, here we go. So I got to pick up Gav, you know, and he's bleeding and crying, and I look at my phone, which I've already broken once since we've been here, so this is my third phone, and I'm going, oh my goodness, right? I'm really excited to get through this patience bit. Oh, but it keeps going, right? So we have to, we can't find anybody to get internet at our house, which is not a big deal. Like, this is not a massive deal. This is not like a third world crisis or anything, but we're trying to figure out who can get internet. I don't know, we can't get internet at our house. So the only day they can get internet at our house, or they kind of bump up the date, is on our rest day. It's on Friday. That's our rest day. We're going to be a little more hard to find on Friday if you come calling, like, because we're just down. I mean, you can get a hold of me, but we're just resting, right? And so we're resting, and the internet guy, hey, can I come over and get on the internet thing, get that installed? It's like, yeah, sure, come on over. Well, all that to say is just the previous night, while we were watering the lawn, the sprinkler goes down, and I'm going, oh no, something's going on here. And our pump goes out on our house. And I'm thinking, patience, can we get through the patience thing, please? Right? So it's a dangerous thing to pray for patience. It's a dangerous thing to preach on patience, but we know patience is good. It's a fruit. And the reason we know it's good is because of what the word actually means. The actual meaning of the word, it's the combination of two different words in the original language, and it literally means to suffer over a long distance. Macro, long, that's the first part of the word, and thumia, anger, macro thumia. Patience is this ability, this fruit, to be able to suffer. Some translations even translate it long suffering. That's what patience is. Is you can suffer over a long distance. That's what patience is. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's a good thing. So when Dale prays for it, he knows, and he's a Greek professor, so he should really know. He has no excuse. When he prays for patience, what he's praying is for an increased ability to suffer over a long distance. In preaching about it, preparing for it, I'm setting myself up. In talking about it this morning, sorry guys, you walked into this. This week, I hazard to guess, the Lord's going to move you into a place where you're going to go, oh, this is helping me suffer over a little bit of a longer distance. The reason that's a good thing, because if it's suffering over a long distance, or having the way I like to define it is, you have a long leash on your anger. Macro, long, thumia, anger. You have this long leash on your anger. It takes you a lot before you just, you know, you come undone. It takes you a long time before you get impatient, you know, and you just start elbowing people. All right, I'm just going to take care of this, right? You're just done. It's a good thing. And the reason it's a good thing to have a long leash on your anger is because, and I hazard to guess, and maybe you're better than me, you probably are. When was the last time you were really, really mad and somebody looked at you and said, you know, he or she acted really well in that moment? I'm talking when you were like, you know, the leash broke. You were done. There's long suffering, and then, you know, it's where the patience ended and you got impatient. You were done suffering. You know, you just snapped. When was the last time when you were mad and you were at your best? You know, what you did in that moment, you go, oh man, I was at my best there. Or what you said at that moment, you go, oh yeah, I was on my right. See, the problem with this is we let ourselves off the hook, or to keep using this metaphor, we let ourselves off the leash too quickly. A lot of times when we're mad, we it's easy for us to go, it was righteous anger. I mean, when was the last time you were mad and you said, oh, I was wrong for being mad there? No. You're mad because you think this is right. I'm mad. I'm sick. I get the opportunity. I'm fed up with it. I'm finally taking this into my own hands. And it's just not a good thing. Now, hear me. I'm not saying it's bad to be angry. Don't hear that. What I'm saying is when we do get mad, this tension between what Scripture says, being angry but not sinning, that takes a pretty unique person to be able to go, I am furious, and to have a righteous indignation at something, and then to be able to act righteously, to be able to put distance between yourself and to be able to sit in that emotion, but then to be able to go, okay, now how do we respond here, right? So it's a good thing to have patience. It's a good thing to go, man, the longer leash I've got on this is better, because when that leash runs out, a lot of times I'm not at my best, right? So it's a very, very good thing to have. And what I want to just wrestle with this morning is some things that make it challenging for us to have patience, some things to that make it in our culture challenging, but also some things we can do to engender this kind of patience. So if you've got this little guy, go ahead and get this out like I've encouraged you to just a few moments ago. And we'll start moving into that a little bit. I've already given you the definition, if you haven't written that down. Patience is having a long, what's the word? Okay, it's long suffering, and just the image I've used is having a long leash, right? It's having a long leash on your anger. The thing I love and hate about it, we'll get into some of the scriptures here shortly, is this is kind of a funny moment with Carrie and I, is patience, you can practice this anywhere. You can practice this anywhere. I remember talking with Carrie, we were talking about patience or something, and I said, man, talking about how you can practice it anywhere and everywhere. So, man, patience, that is what we need. That is parenting, patience. That's what parenting requires. And I thought I was really hitting the nail on the head, and Carrie looks at me and she goes, that's marriage. And I said, no, it's parenting. She said, no, it's marriage. And so I go, you could pick anything, right? I mean, with parenting, how many times you just go, just long suffering, because the goal of parenting is not just to make sure everybody's nice and neat and tidy and have good manners, right? The goal of parenting is to raise somebody up into maturity so that they're ready for the world out there. And that process of raising somebody into maturity takes time. I mean, that depth comes slowly. It's going to take long suffering. It's not going to be like, all right, through a couple of weeks at that, you know, where are you? Well, you're still crawling on the ground. You know, you can't even change, you know. This is a long process. I say, oh man, this is parenting. And Carrie says, no, this is marriage. Putting two people into one home where their undies are going in the same hamper and they're eating at the same, and they're trying to get two wills to work in the same direction. It's not just parenting, right? Like, it's marriage. A lot of times, and I love this line from Tim and Kathy Keller's book, The Meaning of Marriage. They say, you know, it's not your spouse that's driving you crazy, it's marriage. Marriage puts two people in, it's marriage that's causing this. And it doesn't mean marriage is bad, it means marriage brings us so close, we get to see everything, good, bad, and ugly, right? So we're going to need patience with each other. We're going to need to suffer over a long distance with each other as God is working His will to make us who we are, to work this marriage thing out. Oh, it's church, right? Church requires massive, massive patience. How easy and how tempting, and I'm sure we've all done it, where we can go, you know, it'd just be a lot easier if I just went over there, because there's no problems over there, which is not true, right? I'm just going to, when it starts getting hot, or when it starts getting tricky, or when that relationship starts going south, or whatever, we just go, man, I don't want to suffer anymore, I'm done. And so, right, just pick whatever web of relationship you want. It's going to require this, and it's good to have it. There's a handful of disciplines. I'm kind of avoiding the scriptures because I want to undergird it with the scripture here in just a moment. There's a handful of things we can do to cultivate patience. And these are things that I don't necessarily, they're important, but I want to ground us in that. I want to use the leash because that's the metaphor I'm using. When it comes to growing in patience, if patience is what is it? It's long suffering, if it's suffering over a distance, it's having a long leash on your anger. When you pray for patience, or when we preach on patience, and you're getting patience all over you now, what do you suppose is the best way to grow in patience? If suffering is over a long distance, how do you get better at suffering over a long distance? You have to learn to embrace suffering over the short distances, right? I don't know many of you, I sent out an email, does anybody have a retractable dog leash? And like 8 people came back, I've got one. So I had to tell seven people no. But one person, Margaret, bless her heart, Grandma Margaret came through and she said, I got one. And so what I want to just challenge us to do is we're trying to think, oh, man, it'd be good to have patience in my life. If you want to become a patient person, if you want to have a long leash on your anger, there's something you can do. It's when God sends you a short suffering, you go, man, I want to be somebody who can suffer over a long distance. When God sends you a short suffering and your leash is about this long, if you want this leash to get longer, what do you have to do? You have to suffer just a little bit more. And you go, Lord, it's so good. I love that. Man, that person is so patient. I just want to be like that. And if you want to be like that, if you want to be able to learn how to suffer over the long haul, what do you got to do? You got to be able to suffer under another short suffering. See, what we got to do, what we have to learn to do in Christ, is when the short suffering comes up, rather than avoiding it, we have to sit through it. We have to just keep adding all those short sufferings up until we gradually become long-suffering. And this takes time. This takes time. And we might be wasting all of the short sufferings that are out there. We're not taking them captive into maybe becoming a person who eventually could be, because we're just not submitting to that process. We're not. So the way to become long-suffering is we have to submit to lots of short sufferings. And what I want to do, and Carrie said this is about a year ago she said this, and it was so helpful to me. It really set me free in terms of this process of embracing the short sufferings as we try to lengthen our leash and become long-suffering. I asked Carrie, what are some of the misconceptions about patience? And what she said was, the misconception about patience is that you're happy about it while it's happening. You know, you see somebody who's patient, you go, man, that person is so patient. And they just look so at peace. Now, that was last week. Peace was last week, and I know there's overlap. I know these fruits work together. But when this is happening, when this short leash is being made into a longer leash, don't buy into the fact that you're going to be happy about this. Like, oh, this is a pleasant process. Oh, yeah. my short sufferings are being made into a long one. And I don't want you to walk out of here going, man, when I walk into a short suffering, I'm not too happy about it. I don't like it. This doesn't feel comfortable. I thought this was supposed to be something we were looking forward to or something we should embrace. On the one hand, yes. On the other hand, this process, I don't want you to go out here going, man, I'm looking forward to that. I think that's just going to set you up for being bitter. It's going to set you up for being resentful. It's going to come. And the question we have to ask is when those short sufferings come, are we going to waste them? Or are we going to take them captive and go, I'm going to use this. I'm going to use this to make me patient. But not just a person who, like, in sort of like this disconnected sort of a, I'm being patient, I'm unaffected. No. I'm talking like, you know, you're on the edge. You know how to know when you're stretching your patience? It's when you're right at the end, right? Because that's where you become impatient, when that leash runs out, right? So when you're here and you've only got a little bit more and you feel yourself going, I'm running out, that's right at the spot. That's right at the spot where you don't have to be at peace, you don't have to be happy about it, but you can go, my leash is being lengthened. I'm going to use this as an opportunity. Eugene Peterson's the translator of what's commonly known as The Message. It's a translation of the Bible. And he says that impatience is the refusal to endure. What I want to do is take that captive and say, actually, for our purposes this morning, this idea of lengthening our leash, impatience is the refusal to suffer. That's exactly what it is, right? When you're here and you've got no more leash and you get impatient and you take things into your own hands, why do you do that? Why do I do that? Because we are tired of suffering. I'm just taking this into my, get out of my way, right? That's impatience. But when we walk into those instances, one way we can grow impatience is when the Lord brings us to an opportunity to stretch it, and we're uncomfortable and we go, okay, this is an opportunity to become a little bit more patient. And we don't refuse to suffer. We go, man, I don't like this, but this is an opportunity for my leash to be lengthened. Now, there's a handful of ways to do this. I'll just use three L's. Lines, lanes, and license renewal. And you probably know where this is going, right? Ways to lengthen your leash. I remember reading this in John Ortberg's book, The Life You've Always Wanted. He talks about really the need to develop a life that's constantly slowing down. Our lives are constantly speeding up, and when our lives speed up, we tend to get more impatient. You know, get out of the way, road rage, I'm texting, I'm driving, I'm drinking my coffee, we got all this stuff going on. And he says, patience is actually growing when we slow our life down, and we cultivate a life that's going slower. And so he recommends a handful of things, and one of them is getting in the slow lane on purpose and staying there, regardless of who's in the slow lane. And you might say, oh, that's not too bad, but try it tomorrow morning on your way to work. Try it when you're coming to sewing, or try it when you're get in the slow lane and you're going to go, man, and you're going to get impatient. I'm tired of suffering at 50, right, or 45. Who is this person? Seriously, right? So you're intentionally putting yourself in a place where you're just saying, I'm training right now. I'm not liking it per se, but I'm setting myself up to create an opportunity where I just have to go, okay, I'm letting my leash lengthen. That might not be too hard for you. I mean, that's not hard for me. I'm a slow driver. Sorry, I just drive slow. And so my wife's like, yeah, that's no problem. But so if that's not an issue, try the other one. So that's lanes, try lines. When you're at Winco this next week, and this is hard. Now moms, I'm just telling you, maybe this isn't good for you, I don't know. Get in. What do you do when you go to the store? I don't care where it's at. You go to the store, you're coming up, you just got your bread, so you're right at that critical little juncture in the store. What are you looking for? You're looking for the shortest line. Oh, she turned on her light, and it's like, get out of the way, you know? You're just like, I got it, because I am tired. I've been here for an hour. My ankles are bitten off by my kids or whatever, or my spouse or whatever, and you're like, I am done suffering, right? Go find the longest line. And stay there. Even when another clerk turns their light on, you go, durr! You know, you're wanting to go. What are you doing? Why would you do that on purpose? That's crazy. Well, it's crazy unless you really believe that it's good to be a person who has a long leash on their anger, that it's good for us to have a long leash on our temper, that it's good for us to be a kind of people that when life doesn't go our way, we can still function. When things are thrown at us, I mean, when hard times come, or when we lose control over a situation that we probably didn't have in the first place, that we can actually make it through, and not bite somebody's head off, even though we're just right there. Right? So it's a good thing. Or last, go to the DMV. Enough said, right? Enough said. Go to the DMV, put a smile on your face, and go, you know what? I'm going to use this. I know I'm grumpy about this. I'm going to use this. So I have to, you know, you have to do it. It's not like, oh, I'm going to go. No, when that time comes and you go, rather than just being all grumpy about it and Facebooking about it and blah, 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 just go, you know what? This is an opportunity. This is an opportunity to grow in patience. There's something missing here, and it's the gospel. Something missing here, and it's the gospel. And the reason I say that is because if we walk out of here and we go, you know, the pastor told me to just go get patient, to work on my patience, we run the risk. We all run the risk. We all run the risk of setting ourselves up to be incredibly bitter, incredibly resentful, and you're going to blame me. My pastor told me to do this. Why do I have to do this? Blah, 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 blah. All those things are good to do to lengthen our leash. And some of you are going to be better at it than others. Some of you are more patient just by your demeanor, all those things in general. So you're already going to be a little more gifted at it. Some of you are just going to, we're going to struggle. Man, it's going to be a fruit that it's just going to be rocky soil that we're cultivating to try to get this long suffering to grow. But if we just do these disciplines without pointing them in a particular direction, we run an incredibly big risk. And the risk is pointing this discipline, pointing this in a direction that really isn't gospel focused. Now, what do I mean? What I mean is we have to ground this in the fact that the reason we're going to cultivate patience, the reason we're going to cultivate long-suffering is not just because it's a good thing to do, not just because it's wise, or just because, but it's because that's exactly who God has been for us. That's exactly what he's done for us. And that's exactly who he is and what he's doing for us right now. Let me just read a passage. It's on the front there for us. We've got Romans 2, 1 through 5. I want to jump to that 2 Peter 3, 8 through 10. Let me just read this for us. Do not overlook this one fact. Do not overlook this one fact. This is one thing, and there's a context for it. Go ahead and read the previous couple of verses, but do not overlook this one fact. Beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but he's patient toward you. He's patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. He's patient, man. He's just waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting for everybody to come to repentance. He's waiting. He's patient. He's long-suffering. But the day will come. The day of the Lord will come, and it'll come like a thief. Right, thieves don't go, yeah, in 15 minutes, they don't shoot a text ahead of time, they don't warn people, right? It comes, and you're not ready, and it's a surprise, and that's the idea behind the image. The thief breaks in, but Peter's taking this image, and he's putting a different spin on it, kind of, but the idea is, right, there's patience, but there's coming a day when the patience will run out. That day is set, and he's moving toward that day, like I alluded in our communion meditation, where we just celebrated the Lord, and his first coming, but as we celebrate that, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And between that time, he's patient. He's long-suffering. He doesn't want anybody to perish. But the day is coming, and it'll come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away. The heavenly bodies will be burned and dissolved, and the earth and its works, all that are done on it, will be exposed. Verse 15. Count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our brother, our beloved brother Paul, also wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him. So he alludes to Paul. Maybe even the passage that we looked at this morning. I don't know. The patience of the Lord is salvation. I mean, in other words, what Peter is saying is, unless the Lord was patient, if the Lord hadn't waited, none of us would be saved. Can we sit in that? Unless the Lord waited. He didn't have to wait. I mean, what if he didn't wait? What if he wasn't patient? What if he said, you know what, I'm done here. I'm just fine. Jesus, go. I'm going to usher you into your kingdom, everything you've deserved from the very beginning. We're going to create the new heavens and the new earth. We're going to judge and punish sin. We're going to enter into this new life that we've always wanted for the world, because sin is damaging and breaking the world down, and everybody's so... And so much pain and hurt and sorrow and suffering. And what if he didn't wait? I mean, right there in chapter 3, verse 15, he just says, the Lord's patience is your salvation. I mean, hear me, Rick. I mean, if he wouldn't have waited, you wouldn't have been saved. If he wouldn't have waited, I wouldn't have been saved. I mean, Sharon, if he wouldn't have waited, you wouldn't have been saved. Your son, nobody. Everybody that comes to the Lord, they come to him. Why? Because he was patient enough to wait for them to come to him. So without the Lord's patience, none of us had a chance. I mean, he could have come long before, you know, we're sitting here twiddling our thumbs, trying to make decisions. Should I bite down on this or not? Or should I come to him or not? I mean, he was patient. He said, I want everybody to come to repentance. I don't want anybody to be lost. And in his wisdom, he knows when the timing's there. And he's going to do that in his timing and for his purposes and for his glory. Because he's the king, but he's patient. And the reason we have to sit in that is we have to point these disciplines at that one fact. I mean, while we're sitting in that line, or while we're behind a slow car, or while we're at the DMV, why are we doing this? We're not just becoming patient because it's good to be patient. No. We're using all of that to remind us that if the Lord hadn't waited, you wouldn't be saved. I mean, think about that. If the Lord hadn't waited, you wouldn't be saved. Today, I'm mindful of, just thinking about this. Yesterday when we were getting our internet stuff set up, and it's just internet, it's whatever. Trying to get internet set up, and there was a component to it that I thought I ordered, but it didn't show up on the order sheet, and so I'm trying to call it. It was just the phone component, so we could have a working, you know, like a landline type phone. It's kind of we don't get very good cell reception, and so I call this gal on tech support, and I call this gal, and we're talking, and she's trying to get this internet thing set up, and the phone component added to it, and da da da, and she said, hey, how's it going over there? How's the weather? And I'm going, it's hot. You know, it's warm. I'm thinking, duh, hello, where are you? And she goes, where are you? I said, oh, I'm in Oregon, you know. And I said, where are you? Oh, I'm in the Philippines. I'm going, oh. I said, what's it like over there? She said, it's about 50. I'm like, oh, I would kill for 50 right now. Right? Here she is talking to me, broken English. You know, she's doing a good job, and I'm just kind of, you know, having to be patient. And it struck me as I'm sitting here talking to this gal from the Philippines, how impatient I'm getting about her setting up my voice over internet protocol so I can have a phone and I'm talking to somebody on the other side of the planet while she's pushing a couple buttons to send me a little package. I mean, she doesn't have any idea what, you know. And here's what she says. She's, you know, she's talking to me and she's broken English, but she's just trying to do her job. And she says this, thank you, sir, for your patience. And I'm going, oh, you have no idea. Right? Oh, you have no idea. You're welcome. Right? You have any idea what's underneath this phone call right now? No. Right? But it struck me, how many people are, give me my service, right? I mean, I'm one of them. It's that sort of a, this is mine, I paid for this. Why isn't this here? I mean, the fact that when we order something online and it takes longer than 2 days and we start getting fussy about it, that tells us something, right? Our culture is not helping us cultivate this because our culture does not believe it's a good thing. Wait, why? That's wasting your life. I mean, that's suffering, that's undue suffering, that's taking time away from life. And what the church comes back to is it says, no. Suffering, it's not like we take joy in it, but our ability to function, our ability to be holy, our ability to say the right thing when it's needed, when the conditions are not right. You know, not when you woke up and nobody interrupted you and you had your coffee and everything was fine and the paper was on time. And then somebody slights you and you go, you know what, I'm grounded here and I can just respond to you in love. No. I'm talking about when life is coming and you're off balance and you're grumpy and your leash is out. Right there. Paul's saying this is a fruit that God's people, if they keep walking with him, and we keep cultivating opportunities, not just for its own sake, because that'll lead to despair, that'll lead to being bitter, but if we captivate these opportunities and we say, man, this is an opportunity for me to remember when I'm in the slow lane, or even to purposefully go in the long line, say, this is taking forever. And the Lord is saying, you know how long I waited for you to get your act together? Not just become a good person, to finally see what I did for you in Christ? You see how long I've been suffering as you just keep going back into the mud pit, going back in the mud pit? I'm waiting for you to see the day. I'm waiting for you to see what I've done for you. I'm waiting for you to just finally go, I need the Lord. And you finally hand your life over to Him. He's so patient. So we don't walk into these disciplines just like, oh, I'm just patient, whatever. No, no. We walk into them with this gospel focus saying, man, according to 2 Peter 3:15, the patience of the Lord is our salvation. If the Lord hadn't waited, we wouldn't be saved. Patrick said something very, very insightful this week in our meeting. He was talking about tracing that out, not just into our own salvation, but the work and the prayer and the patience of evangelism. I mean, how many of you, tell me, Rick even told me this morning how discouraging it can be with a family member, a dear family member, who you're going, man, I'm praying for my so-and-so, and man, it's just like, nothing's happening. And some of you have been praying for 20 years for somebody. Some of you have been praying for longer. Some of you have just started that journey. And I can't tell you how many times I sit there and I go, man, I've been praying. Why isn't anything happening? Possibly, actually, more likely, yes. The Lord is carving into us the very patience that He's had with us. He wants to know, how in are we in seeing this person come to the Lord? I mean, are we convinced that there isn't one person who's come to the Lord that didn't come with just this huge foundation of prayer, holding them up, getting them there? I'm convinced that everybody's come to the Lord on the backs of a lot of prayers, years, maybe even decades of people praying. Arnold's one of them. In fact, when we dunked Arnold last week, one of his dear family members came up and said, we've been praying for this for years. I don't think maybe there is, whatever, but anybody who comes to the Lord, I don't think it's in a vacuum. I think the Lord has been patient, because without the Lord waiting, nobody gets saved. But I also think it's on the backs of a lot of people who've been patient, prayerfully looking forward to the day when somebody finally says, man, I need the Lord. And we all go, yes, you do. Been praying for this for 20 years, right? So the Lord's patient with us. And so we're practicing these things because we remember, man, if the Lord hadn't waited, we wouldn't be saved. He's patient with us, not just to get us there, but it's not like His patience runs out once we become a follower of Christ, right? It's not like He goes, okay, patience is up, toe the line. I mean, He's talking to people who says, He's saying, walk by the Spirit. It's not like we suddenly come to Christ and all of a sudden these fruits just happen. No, this is the fruit of walking, right? This takes time. And so even on this side of Christ, even after accepting Christ, I mean, the Lord is patient and good to us. He wants to grow us up into maturity. He wants to see us into this fullness, not just this flash in the pan, okay, it's over. No, He wants to move us into a life of fruitfulness. He wants to move us into a life of maturity. And He's patient there too. It's going to take time to grow up. It's going to take time to become mature. And we find ourselves back in the same old sin, looking at the same old stuff online, and we find ourselves responding the same way we've done for 20 years, and the Lord's going, we're going to get there if you keep walking. We're going to eventually root that out. But He's patient with us, not only to see us saved, but to see us holy, to see us righteous, really righteous, to not just covered, but holy, like Jesus, His character, His kindness, His goodness, His patience. So as we move into this week, and forgive me, sorry, caution, put your helmet on as you're going out, maybe even as soon as you get up, put a helmet on. Like, we're moving into a week, and you've got some scriptures, Romans 5 and 2 Peter, but all of it's connected to patience. Our patience with others is connected to God's patience with us. There's a handful of scriptures there. There's a couple of different things to do with in terms of disciplines. But let's not make the mistake of wasting opportunities to cultivate this fruit. It's not if, tricky times or tough times or suffering times are going to come. It's more like when, and how are we going to respond? How are we going to respond when an opportunity that could very well be wasted And we get nothing out of the suffering. It just makes us more bitter, more grumpy, and the leash doesn't move. But maybe this week there's an opportunity by God's grace and in His kindness, He's prepared an opportunity for us. Aside from the things that you might be thinking about doing just to cultivate this yourself, where if done in the right spirit and really with the gospel in mind, because the Lord was patient with you, when that tough time comes, your leash might get a little longer. And rather than being just a person who can just barely suffer through short bits of things, you can go, man, I wasn't here last year or last week. I don't know how I can respond this way because, man, this is a tough situation. And you're using that as an opportunity to become patient. Don't let those opportunities pass. Don't let them go. Use them as an opportunity to remember that if the Lord hadn't waited, we wouldn't have been saved. So let's live in that truth. Let's have the worship team go ahead and come on up and prepare to close us down. And while they're doing, I'd love to pray. God, thank you for your grace. And when we say that, what we're really saying is, thank you for your patience. Thank you for being willing. You're able, but thank you for being willing to suffer over a long distance for us, to see us into salvation, but then to also see us holy. Thank you for giving us that kind of patience in some measure just by coming to you. But thank you for giving us some opportunities to cultivate that so that we can experience this fruit in our lives. God, forgive us when we've been short, tight, rough, impatient, not remembering how patient you've been with us. Help us to hang in there for the people we're praying for right now and to not lose hope, to keep putting prayers on the pile for those we know and love. We know how much they need you, probably more than they do. Help us continue to be faithful and patient as we pray for them. God, it's in your name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and stand. Let's sing together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Falls down on me.
Saved, but we are. So what we get to do is to go back out into our day and into our week, and we have this incredible opportunity to waste nothing, even the tough stuff, where other people are going, oh, and they feel like their life's being wasted. We get to go out as the church and go, oh, no, this is captive to such a bigger thing in terms of growing into being like Jesus. So let's not go waste a bit, even if we don't like it or it's tough or whatever. Every time we feel God lengthening our leash, let's use that to point us back to the fundamental truth. If God hadn't waited, we wouldn't be saved, but we are. So let's go out there and let's walk by God's Spirit. Have a great week.